Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Chofei, the 25th Perek of Yirmiyahu. This is a very precise prophecy that Yirmiyahu is giving because he dates it very clearly himself. It's a rather long Perek, and Yirmiyahu describes that this is happening during the fourth year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Yoshiyahu. So let's put ourselves back into context very specifically. First, Yirmiyahu prophesied for 20 years under Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu was killed by Pharaoh Nechoi, and his son Jehoiachaz was replaced or deported by the Egyptians and replaced with Eliakim, who became Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is the one who is not willing to listen to Yirmiyahu, and in the fourth year of his reign, this is when Yirmiyahu is now prophesizing. So he says, "Davar asher hayo al Yirmiyahu al kol am Yehuda." This matter was to Yirmiyahu, to all the people of Yehuda, and he says the following in the fourth year of the reign of Jehoiakim, it is the Shana Rishona Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. It's the first year of this new king in the north whose name is Nebuchadnezzar. In full, in Babylonian, it's Nabucodonosor, and its conjugation is Nebuchadnezzar, which is the way that it's called, at least in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Now, what does he have to say? So Yirmiyahu sounds and is very exasperated when he talks about this. This is really, you know, up till now he's been talking about doing teshuvah during the reign of Yoshiyahu Melech and about the thinness of the veneer, about sort of the superficiality of the teshuvah movement that during the times of Yoshiyahu. And during the times of Jehoiakim, he's now been talking about the fact, don't make alliances, don't think that your security lies in other nations, because evil's coming from the north. Once Nebuchadnezzar actually becomes the king, this is the moment where he actually specifically points to this person, this king, this empire, as being the danger. Up till now, it hasn't been not been identified. So here's what he says. Yirmiyahu says to all Yehuda and your people of Yerushalayim, and he says, for 23 years, I've been prophesizing. For 23 years, I've been telling you, and you didn't listen. And Hashem sent to you, V'shalach aleichem es kol avodav haneviim, Hashkem v'shaloach v'lo shamatem. From the earliest times, Hashem sent his neviim, and you didn't listen. V'lo hitisem es nozeichem nishmo. You didn't even tilt your ears. You didn't even turn your ears to listen to the prophets when they told you to do teshuvah. And they told you not to serve avodah zarah and not to go after the actions of their hands. And you didn't listen. So therefore, says Yirmiyahu, well, you know what? Lachen komar Hashem tzvakos. Because you didn't listen, in Pasuk Tes, hineni shaleach v'lokachti es kol mishpachos tzafon u'l Hashem. I'm going to take all the families of the north, ve'es Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel adi. And Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, the king of Babylon, ve've'isim ala oretz hazois ve'el yosh, v'al yoshver, v'al kol agoyimo ele sobiv. I'm going to take them and I'm going to use them to empty out, to destroy this land. I'm going to destroy all celebrations. All kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chasan v'kol kala is going to be destroyed from this area. This whole land will be empty. And at 70 years later, that's when I will turn upon them the sin that they brought about. The Babylonians, the cast and the will be brought back on them. And then he gives an example, or sort of the image of what this is going to look like. So what does he say? He says, "Kach es kos hayayin hachema hazois." Take this cup of wrath, this chalice, sort of like a wine cup, but instead of full of wine, it's full of this anger. And you're going to feed all the nations around you that I'm going to send you, says Yirmiyahu. That's what Hashem says to him. And you're all going to drink from it. And you're all going to, it's going to represent the destruction which is going to be coming. And it describes how Yirmiyahu, so to speak, went to Pharaoh in Egypt in the south, and the Philistines, and the people in the Arav, and the Eretz Utz, and the Ashkelon, and Azon, Ekron, and Ashdod, and Edom, and Moab, and Bnei Ammon, all the nations surrounding Israel in the east and the south, and finally moving all the way back up to the north, to Melech Sheshach and Adama, and Bavel itself, and sounds like everyone will drink it. What does it mean? Hashem says, because that's the destruction which I'm sending. You're all sinning to me. I'm going to destroy Yerushalayim, but I don't destroy Yerushalayim alone. V'atem hinokei tinakul. You're going to be cleaned out as well. Loi tinakul. There's going to be vengeance. Ki cherev ani korei al kol yoshvei ha'aretz. I'm calling a sword on all the entire area. The whole Middle East is going to be taken over by this devastating power as you drink the chalice of wrath. And he says, and those who don't want to drink, well, too bad. You're going to be forced to drink because this is what's coming. And sort of the description of destruction, you know, the peaceful pastures. The places of peace, you know, the sort of the pastures, the quiet places will be cut off because of the anger of God. Terrifying sort of image, which is going to rack the whole Middle East, which Hashem is saying. And the image that is used is this chalice, this cup of wrath. So a lot of things to think about. That's the summary of the general perek. Let's look at some of the details briefly together. First of all, one thing worth noting is that the first half of this speech or this prophecy is actually in the words of Yirmiyahu himself. He doesn't say that Hashem prepped him. Meaning he just said, "Hadavar asher hayah al Yirmiyahu kol amah Yehuda." He's saying his own experience. So this is just unique in the sense that this is Yirmiyahu's own, this is his own emotions, his own words, not just what Hashem is saying, which is like the image at the end of the cup. Just worthwhile thinking about the exasperation which is pouring into these words. So he claims, let's go back to the beginning. He says that Hashem sent you all these Nevi'im and you never listened. So what Nevi'im is he referring to? There weren't so many Nevi'im around this time. There was Chulda, of course. We didn't know this. It's funny that we don't see so many Nevi'im around now. In fact, Menashe killed many of the Nevi'im. So the Radak says no. What he's saying is longitudinally, from the time you left Egypt, Hashem sent you leaders. Hashem sent you voices of reason. Hashem sent you direction. And from that time, you weren't willing to listen. You had your lifestyle, which was at stake, and you decided your lifestyle was more important than this. That's what he's saying over here. And that's why he actually refers to Avodah Zarah. Right now, the primary sin isn't Avodah Zarah. There certainly was idol worship. But most of that was destroyed by Yoshiah Melech. Right now, it seems to be alliances and misplaced trust and, social injustice in society, which is what they're dealing with. But what Yirmiyahu is doing is he's sort of putting it all together. From time immemorial, you people have not been listening to God. That's the general message of what he's saying. When we move on to the next section in the Perek, he says, Yirmiyahu says, I'm going to be sending Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Wait a second, you know, when you say the word Avdi, when Hashem says in the name of a prophet, Avdi, my servant, that's a very illustrious term, you know, Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua at the end of his life. That was a term that was given to them. Nebuchadnezzar, like, he's not exactly a pious person, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. Why is he called Avdi? So the Medrash in Eicha Rabbos in Psichto Chof Gimel says that Hashem says to him, Hashem says, Nebuchadnezzar, you listen to the voice, the baskol, which says that my people need punishing. You are my servant. You are going to be my agent of destruction. Meaning to say, it's not because he's a very, you know, pious and, you know, very special individual serving God. On the contrary, he's a terrible person, but he's fulfilling the word of God. This actually sparks a fascinating debate, which if you take a look at the Ramban in Sefer Bereishis Perek Tezvav, by the Bris Ben Abasarim, Rambam points out this as a classic example of where somebody was doing the will of God, he was trying to destroy the nation of Israel as the representation of Hashem's word, but ultimately the reason he was doing it wasn't because Harinim Mukhar Mazuman Lekabal Allah Mitzvahs Aseh Shel, you know, destroying Israel, it was because he was doing it because to enlarge his empire, to enlarge his dynasty, and so therefore he was held culpable because although he was Hashem's Eved, but ultimately it was by hook or by crook, not necessarily because he was doing it for that specific reason. When we're coming to this parak, we also notice something very interesting, and that is that we're given this 70-year term. 70 years is fascinating. The Malbim actually says that there are seven stars which govern sort of periods during the world, and each of those stars is a 10-year tenure. And what happens is in order to change the shift, the focus of power now, there needs to be the reign of Bavel, of Babylon, is going to be through all those seven stars, through that entire reign. How does the 70 years work exactly? So the Radak points out that Nebuchadnezzar himself reigned for 45 years. That's an incredibly long time. His son, Evil Moradach, who reigned for 23 years, and Belshazzar, reigned for 2 years before he was assassinated. So that altogether gives you the 70 years that we're talking about over here. It is fascinating, though, that if you look at the beginning of Sefer Chagai, we're going to get there, God willing, a little later in the year, when you look at the beginning of Sefer Chagai, when the Jews are returning to Zion after the Babylonians have been defeated, there's the first two Rashis on Sefer Chagai are very helpful for the timelining. And he points out that it's true that there's 70 years till the destruction of Babel, but the Jews never really started building the Beis HaMikdash for another 18 years. Meaning, when Darius conquers the Babylonians, Belshazzar, he allows, as an edict, allowing the return of Jews to Judea. But the Beis HaMikdash is not built for another 18 years. You know, you remember that there's famously the Su'udah of Achashverosh is to celebrate that the Jews aren't returning. That's because Achashverosh and many of the Persians knew the Cheshbon of 70 years, knew that it should have been around now, and it hasn't happened. But they miscalculated, it said Rashi, because there was two stages of the Golos. The one stage of the Golos is when Yirmiyahu was talking right now, the rise of Nebuchadnezzar. It's going to take 70 years from the time he rose to the time his empire fell, which is very short. Only 70 years. But the Golos was also 70 years. That Golos started 18 years later through the rest of the reign of Jehoiakim and Zedekiah's reign. That's 18 years later till the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which is why 70 years from that point was when the Beis HaMikdash was actually allowed to be rebuilt. So there's two sets of 70. 70 measured from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign and from the time the Beis HaMikdash is set, and they mark two separate stages of Geula when we measure it and appreciate this. So just to put things in perspective, I found this is a very illuminating aspect of this particular parasha. And one or two other things just to focus on in this parasha over here. Rashi explains that the reason why you need the cup over here, it's not like he's going around and, you know, feeding every Persian or Egyptian that he sees. What's happening over here is that the cup itself is again the physical agent which crystallizes prophecy irrefutably. And Rashi says very powerfully, by giving the prophecy with this cup, there is no possibility of tshuva for these nations. Very powerful idea, which is why the cup is actually used. When thinking about why do these nations actually get punished? Malm says something pretty scary. He says, Shayadesh Anish Eschem Anish Gam Kolagoyim. Ben Puranus Bola Olam and Abishil Yisrael. He says, sort of, as my anger flows into you, Israel overflows onto those around you. Because they're going to be consumed collectively in your sin, which is a scary thing. I think one needs to add to this Malbim as well, the fact that these other nations were often the reason or the source of their malpractice, meaning whether it be Avodah Zorah or their trust in treaties and fighting against Bavel, they were part of the reason itself, so it wasn't like they were innocent nations themselves. And last point, and just something worthwhile thinking about, is that the cup goes round, and Yirmiyahu describes how it goes... It goes to every nation, and he describes, you know, going from the south and the east all the way around, and finally goes north. At the very, very end, the last person to consume this chalice, this cup of wrath, is ultimately in the north. It is Sheshach. It is this person called Sheshach. Who is Sheshach? So the Malbim points out, if you use the coding of Atbash, where you replace the first letter of the alphabet Aleph with a Taf and a Beis with a Shin, it actually comes out that this is Bavel. I mean, Sheshach is Bavel, which means ultimately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, it looks like Babylon is in control. It looks like that's what's happening, but ultimately they're going to be drinking their own poison in the end of the 70 years because they fulfilled their mission of being my agent. And it takes a lot of perspective to see this, because remember, there are a lot of political agitators at the time of Yirmiyahu who said, Yirmiyahu is a turncoat. Yoyakim, kill him. Because you know what he is? He's not a God person. He simply supports the Babylonians as opposed to the Egyptians. And Yirmiyahu is saying, no, I don't support Babylonians. I don't wear the Babylonian t-shirt. I don't wear the Egyptian t-shirt. I don't wear the Assyrian t-shirt. I wear the God t-shirt. And the God t-shirt says, is that you listen to what Hashem says. And when you don't have the schus to fight against these people, you pay their taxes, because that's the only way out. And that's what Yirmiyahu said in this particular instance. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.